right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. As always, on Wednesdays, I'm joined by none other than Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. And good morning to you, my friend. It's good to see you.
Good morning, Earl. Haven't seen you. I don't think since maybe a fundraiser we were at a while back.
Yes, sir. It's so good to have you on, what is this called? StreamYard. Yeah, the technology, you clearly are aware of it. I'm still dragging and lagging, but Calvin makes sure that we make this happen. Let me, and before we get into it, Dr. Craig, we're going to be joined by Senator, United States Senator Ron Johnson this Friday in studio. He's going to be here from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. And for those who may have questions, again, go to civic.audio/Earl, and we're going to take your questions. And many of those questions are going to be the questions we're going to ask United States Senator Ron Johnson. You can also call 844-967-2789. It's going to be a lot more difficult for you to get in through the phone lines, but clearly your best chance is to go to civic.audio/Earl, and we'll take those questions to ask United States Senator Ron Johnson. So, Dr. Craig, so much to talk about. I want to begin by the decision that was rendered by the D.C. Court of Appeals a couple days ago on Donald Trump being God. Didn't turn out quite the way he had suspected. Your thoughts?
Yeah, and I think it was yesterday because it was the dominant thing on cable news last night, at least on the CNN, MSNBC. Fox News is probably ignoring it. But Donald Trump, through his lawyers, was making this claim that presidents are immune from criminal prosecution forever, not just when they're president. And even that is not a law. That's simply a memo in the Department of Justice that probably ought to be overturned. And to the point where, unless he's impeached, which, just so people understand, is completely novel law, never in any constitutional text or discussion of framing the impeachment clauses. In fact, the impeachment clauses were clearly intended, and they said so, as something aside from criminal law. It was public crimes only a public official like a president or a member of Congress can make, or a judge. And so it's absurd, but it's held up the whole trial. And the real game here is to hold it up so that he can, in his theory, win election and then end the case before he can see justice, which is amazing. No other American can take over and end a case on their own authority, but he can because he doesn't believe in any constitutional norms. He's promised at least one day of dictatorship. And I'll say this, Earl, there's no such thing as a one-day dictatorship. It'll be extended if it starts for a day. And so this goes to the point where a judge asked hypothetically if SEAL Team 6 was to murder your political opponent and he was not, and you were not impeached, the president wasn't, then you couldn't be prosecuted. And all the lawyer kept saying is, well, he would probably be impeached. Well, what if you was killed or kidnapped enough senators so you couldn't get a quorum for impeachment? I mean, seriously, this is what happens in authoritarian countries. And so they threw that out. They took a long time, but they wrote it was a Republican judge and two Democratic judges appointed. It's a powerful decision, very well written. So the big question now is, will the Supreme Court take it up in some way that delays it? Though it's hard to imagine even this Supreme Court getting 5 votes to agree with Donald Trump. And there are complicated questions there of both taking the case, which is called certiorari, and of whether they're going to grant a stay. Because if they took the case and didn't grant a stay, the trial would proceed, which is not what Donald Trump wants. The judges, the appellate court, took care to make sure he couldn't go to any lower court, but they can't prevent him from going to the Supreme Court. But he has till Monday to file it in their decision.
So, Dr. Craig, what does... So now that that decision has been rendered, the chances of the Supreme Court picking it up may be kind of remote, I guess, based on some of the things I've read, because it was so well written. Where does Donald Trump go from there? Because he was clearly hanging his hat on the fact that he was, as if he was still the president, and the fact that he was the president, and now that it's been kind of rendered that, hey, you're not, number one, you're not the president. And so the things that, whatever the things were that he did, he's going to be held accountable for that, possibly. Is that what this ruling says?
Well, people in the know are concerned they might take the case. But here's the way it works. I don't want to overcomplicate for folks. There's legal procedure here. But it takes four judges in the Supreme Court to take a case. And there are four absolutely, far-right lunatic members. But it takes five to stay the case. So there's a lower bar for taking the case, but they can't delay it unless they get five. So the question is there a fifth to hold the whole thing up, even if they ultimately hold it up for months or even the next year and then rule against Trump? They've still done his bidding. So some people think yes, some people think no. Some are certain yes, and some are certain no. So let's see. But there aren't other appeals. This is a unique appeal that comes before a trial and can stop it. Most appeals come after the trial and you're convicted and you appeal the conviction. So this is, to my understanding, one of the few delay tactics left. It looks like the judge, the district federal court judge who is having this case will move promptly. She's had to cancel the March trial, but April, May is possible. There is still, if the Supreme Court doesn't intervene, more enough time to have him face justice before the election. And this is important because aside from the important question of people actually, there being a rule of law and people being held accountable for their actions, and this will be a trial where he'll have every bit of due process afforded to any other defendant and more because of the quality and number of lawyers he can get, right, compared to a poor kid in the city in Milwaukee who gets entangled with the law one way or another. The other reason it matters is democracy. Voters have a right to know whether he's been convicted of something or not before they vote. And I don't believe, I think we overdo polls all the time, but the fact that a lot of voters say it would affect their decision, that's another reason for the courts to do their job and render a judgment one way or another before this election.
If you're just joining us, my guest is always on Wednesdays, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You can join us as well at 844-967-2789. Got a lot of questions and things we want to ask Dr. Craig. Let's go to the phone lines. And Stephen from Green Bay, good morning to you, Stephen. Your thoughts?
Good morning. Dr. Craig, it's always nice to hear from you. I have a couple thoughts on this particular topic, and I'm hoping that you can either validate my thoughts on this or explain to me why I'm wrong. I see a couple problems with this whole case. Problem number one being it took so long for these judges to actually make a decision when in reality it seems like a pretty common sense thing to say that a president who is no longer president anymore does not have immunity from these type of things. I think if they did say otherwise, I think the precedent that it would have opened would have been catastrophic, to say the least. And second, I guess I don't understand where Trump's lawyers thought that they were doing him any kind of good. From what I've seen from the arguments that they made in front of that court panel, I'm just an average citizen, and I thought they were absolutely ridiculous arguments. And then third, as far as the U.S. Supreme Court taking the case, I think that if they did take the case, now I don't think we can be certain about anything after what we've seen come out of the U.S. Supreme Court, But if they do take this case, what further damage does that do to the U.S. Supreme Court that has not already been done?
Hey, Stephen, thank you very much for all those questions, Dr. Craig.
Great question, Stephen. It took a long time for us, for real life. This was incredible speed, lightning speed for courts. And there's another point here. This is not brought up by kind of on the mainline punditry shows, the Sunday morning shows.
Right.
We haven't added federal judges in a very long time, and we've become a much bigger society with a whole lot more lawsuits. And so adding judges is not just a matter of dealing with the packing of the federal courts by Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell, which was a conveyor belt of confirmations of semi-qualified people in many cases and all deeply conservative people. So we need to reform the courts and add a whole lot more federal judges, because normal people are waiting a year for these sort of decisions, and it's costly. A lot of people settle because they can't afford all the legal fees, which denies them due process of law, if you think about the Constitution. You're totally right. We don't know what the courts are going to do. So that's a clear problem. Here's what I'll close on. I know we're getting to the break. And that is, Donald Trump confounds traditional political theory because he only talks to his base and gins up their turnout. And you were right about these arguments and what he's saying for all voters other than his base, but he's able to win elections by supercharging his base and revving them into a frenzy. So it's a different political model, and it can be very effective. We've seen it.
All right. 844-967-2789. Stay with us. This is the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Give more power to the people. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means my good friend and executive director of Citizen Action, Dr. Robert Craig, is on the line. Dr. Craig, what are Republicans doing? They demolished a border deal. Senator Lankford is as conservative a senator, Dr. Craig, as one could ever be from Oklahoma. He sat down and helped broker this deal along with Mitch McConnell. And it was thrown out 4 months they negotiated this deal. So people understand this wasn't something they did, Dr. Craig, over a weekend. Took a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of sacrifice. And Donald Trump waves his magic wand, and they throw it all out. Where have we gotten, Dr. Craig? Where are we at?
And just taking a step back, this is an example of horrible public policy, because I have mixed feelings about this, because this is the wrong way to solve the crisis. It doesn't deal with the underlying problems. It vilifies the victims of the crisis and what's going on in Central America and in right. Mexico, and what's going on with our employers that want cheap, exploitable labor that has to stay in the shadows because it doesn't have documentation. So it doesn't get at it. And the problem is Congress puts these things together. You can't have Ukraine aid unless you also right. give them this border deal. Now, the Republicans, when they were running for control, including Speaker Johnson, said they weren't going to do this anymore, and they were going to have up or down votes on every bill individually. Of course, they lied, and now they're getting their things by extortion. So I have mixed feelings on this, but Trump has made it worse because at the very least, even in that system, you knew if the price for the Republicans was draconian moves at the border, that if they sent their most hardline person who could be relied upon to come back with something all Republicans would support, right, and not give anything away vital to them, he comes back with a deal and supports it. And then even then, we don't get the public policy and the other things that were coming in the deal, like the Ukraine aid, because Donald Trump makes one phone call and does a fake tweet on his separate ex. And so what it tells you is there are still some deeply conservative people who are actually trying to make policy and believe in the policy. And that apparently is Senator Langford, because he has been thrown under the bus but continues to say this is a good deal, right? But that for Donald Trump and all the people who will follow them, most of them, it's about political power, period. And the policy is just a way to get power. They don't really care about it. And furthermore, Donald Trump doesn't give a darn about policy, but what he does care about to glorify himself is to humiliate not only his opposition, but his friends. And so he loves the spectacle of all these people groveling and changing their positions, all these proud senators, once he just makes the call and they all have to get on their hands and knees to him, including Mitch McConnell.
You know, Dr. Craig, let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines and Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. You're joined by Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You have a question or comment?
Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
Good morning. You know, another wasted opportunity on this, some more legislation that is decades overdue, that, you know, right at the 11th hour, the GOP pulled the deal. And you know, what I decided to do is just kind of take a look back through recent history very, very quickly. In 2001, W. Bush met with Vicente Fox and held high-level meetings. But they fell through because the Republicans had splintered support. In 2005, John McCain and Ed Kennedy had an immigration bill done in the Senate, and they they couldn't get it done. The Republicans could not get enough votes to pass. In 2005, 2006, James Sensenbrenner did an enforcement only. Attempt to remedy some things at the border. The Senate passed their version, and then the House passed their version, but they never reconciled. And this goes on and on. 2007, they did it. 2013, they did this with Obamacare. As soon as Obama pitched, basically the Heritage Foundation, Romney Care, as his own, then all of a sudden, instead of getting America their health care, national health care program that had been promised us for decades, no, they pull it. 2017, we had an immigration bill that was passed by both the House and the Congress, and Trump vetoed it. At some point, the people got to say enough wasting of our time in not doing the work that you promise during campaigns. So it's ultimately, guys, it's up to us. We the people just, recognize the world we're in, recognize the scoundrels that will not do a deal. They refuse to do a deal because they'd rather have political points. And
thank you very much for those questions. You know, Dr. Craig, what we'll do is we'll continue this. You guys can join us at 844-967-2789. Again, stay with us. This is the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media.
They know we're not satisfied the way they killed the holler. They give us a promise and throw in a few more dollars.
There's no price for happiness.
You got to give more power to the people.
For God's sake,
why don't you give more power to the people?
For God's sake,
you got to give more power to the people.
Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. And Mike from Kenosha had some pretty poignant questions, Dr. Craig, that he asked before that little short hiatus. Your response?
So remind me,
he was mainly talking about the fact that there had been ongoing for decades,
right.
Decisions, where they were trying to come up with solutions to the border, and the Republicans always were the ones who said no.
Yeah, the caller is extremely well informed and gave a good historical, list.
Right.
And, that's a great thing about being on Civic Media, very informed callers. But I would say to anyone who's turning this station on, driving around, if you don't know and you just are interested in asking a question, please don't feel you need to be as informed as all of our callers.
Yes, sir.
And also, you don't have to agree either. All views are welcome here at Civic Media and on the Earl Ingram Show especially. So let me just say that we've gotten to a point on immigration. He also brought up the whole Obamacare fiasco, where the Republicans used to have an agenda and actually want to achieve something. And now they simply have a political interest in perpetuating the crisis and calling it a crisis and overblowing it, attacking and othering the victims of the crisis, which are the people seeking asylum, okay,
right.
And dehumanizing them. And Donald Trump has said the quiet out loud that he thinks it's valuable politically and he doesn't want to solve the problem. And this goes in with the whole ridiculous charade of trying to impeach Secretary Mayorkas, which they failed to do yesterday, but we'll try again. Mike Gallagher was one of only three Republicans to vote with the Democrats, though his reasoning was because he can be good on the raw meaning of the Constitution and not having an insurrection, but beyond that, he's horrendous on policy. And so he says it doesn't meet the standards Republicans laid out when they were defending Trump against impeachment. Okay, that's great. A Republican who actually means the standards, they just change them. For political purposes, the rest of them, as you see with almost all of them voting for it. And he says because there's no evidence, he isn't just implementing Biden's open border policy. Now, it's a lie that Biden has an open border policy. That's just a freaking smear that they get away with over and over again. But the point being, how can you have it both ways? That Biden has an open border and Mayorkas is somehow doing impeachable offenses and not carrying out Biden's orders. I mean, which one is it? Of course, consistency doesn't matter, Earl. And on Obamacare, President Obama, bright man, made the mistake of saying, if I put a lot of Republican things I've always wanted in here, assuming that they actually wanted them, then I'll get Republican support. And they negotiated it. They made changes to it. And then they all voted against it anyway. So their policies were just, this is our health policy, so it looks like we have one, but we didn't really mean it once we were actually asked, given what we had asked for. So a little similar in an earlier era to what we just saw on immigration yesterday.
You know, Dr. Craig, before, let's do this. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You have a question or comment for Dr. Craig?
Yeah, good morning. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. We do need to get money out of politics. I really recommend to everybody out there, Chris Larson asked on Twitter, he asked, what is the first bill that he would want to bring up since the maps are changing? And I wrote to get money out of politics, and I hope everybody else will join in and write to the Democratic people in Wisconsin, the representatives, to get money out of politics. The other thing is, Dr. Craig, I have a question for you. In the past 50 years, what actual policy have the Republicans passed to help working people?
What have the Democrats done, are you asking?
No, he said Republicans.
Oh, Republicans. Okay. That's a harder question. not that the Democrats have done everything they ought to have done, but I could actually point to things. So that is a great question. I would have to ponder that. I would say in their very regressive tax cuts, at least there were some little morsels from middle income and lower income folks, of course, disproportionate to what they gave to the rich and large corporations. You'd almost have to do it that way, right? They did throw some money out during the pandemic in the late Trump administration when they were absolutely terrified, but that was unusual behavior, and they quickly stopped. We could probably come up with things that maybe other callers could call in and make nominations, yeah, and we could go issue by issue.
So, Dr. Craig, we have other callers. So, Tom, so go ahead.
I guess I'm asking because I know Tom Hartman has asked that question, and no one has been able to come up with anything. And, you know, when you look at policies that the Democrats have done, like Social Security through FDR and the New Deal, Johnson with Medicare, there haven't been, and I want people to really think about it out there, that the Republicans are not for the working person. They're not for the average working person. I hope people really just kind of check their conscience and check their background and see what it is that they've done.
Let me add two things I thought
Tom,
of.
Thank you very much for the call, Tom. Really appreciate it. Go ahead, Dr. Craig.
Two things I thought of, which no Republican would do now, but in history, you know, Reagan's immigration policy, he did give the dreaded word amnesty to a whole lot of people and made it a reasonable accommodation in the 80s.
1986.
But that's impossible now.
Right.
George H.W. Bush, he did do the Americans with Disabilities Act. You can't imagine that happening now. So there used to be Republicans did a lot of damage who occasionally did do very good things, and that's gone by the wayside.
Let's go to Bob from Wisconsin's East Coast. Good morning to you, Bob. Quickly, you have a question or comment for Dr. Craig.
Good morning, gentlemen. I, with my work on the street, and I talk to a lot of indigent women who've got children and they're waiting for support checks. When they get a support check, the check comes out to 92 cents or 96 cents. And after their children are 30 years old, they still have to get the check because they've never gotten their money. How can we change that, Doctor?
I don't know, Dr. Craig, if you know what he's talking about.
Well, he's talking about how minimal our social safety net is, right? So all parts of public assistance. It was the Clinton idea, very wrong, that if he made tougher welfare policies, that would take the issue away. Republicans would stop like demagoguing on it. Well, guess what? They make it sound like people are taking huge payments and sitting on couches and eating bonbons, whether it's true or not. And I'm reading an excellent book called The Hospital about what's happening in the healthcare system. It's got a lot of attention, a couple years old now. And in this small Ohio town the hospital is in, a lot of people just assume that the problem is people won't work anymore. And the evidence is totally contrary to that. But these are comfortable myths that the right wing and Fox News reinforce for their own purposes.
Let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines. And CJ, good morning to you, CJ. Quickly, question or comment?
Well, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I love listening to Democrats explain what Republicans believe. We're safer and more prosperous with Republicans in office. I thought Kamala Harris, the vice president, was going to tackle this immigration issue and solve that. Boy, she's done a great job, hasn't she? Here's some indisputable facts, right, Dr. Craig? The last month of President Trump's presidency, there was 30,000. Last month for Biden, 302,000. That's correct, right? That's
CJ.
You gotta deal with causation. It's like saying that Obama was a better president because COVID didn't happen. In other words, the Republicans have refused to give Congress to change laws that don't work. Everyone agrees it's a broken immigration system. For political purpose, you can't turn around and say Kamala Harris with no congressional authority can fix it. And you can't go around and say because there's a growing, the reason there's a growing migration crisis is because of our foreign policy. We put right-wing dictatorships into most Central America, and they've caused absolute atrocity. In addition, global warming, which we are not solving, is causing people to lose opportunities in the global south and further south and have to migrate to Europe or the United States. We need an immigration policy that can deal with reality, but it's easy just to repeat the talking points, isn't it? Much easier and much more politically convenient and useful.
Well, CJ, I mean, you repeated the same thing a couple days ago, and that's the issue. Which people are trying to get to to fix this, CJ, and you don't fix it by continuing to quote the same statistics. It's not solving anything.
Hey, Earl, maybe CJ can tell us why this is such a bad border deal and why Trump said it was a bad bill when the most conservative Republican senators who negotiate say it's a great bill. Can you explain what's bad about the bill? It's not clear Trump read the bill, let alone knows anything wrong with it.
CJ?
Well, the issue is they aren't enforcing the laws that they have. Biden overturned with 64 things that he did that caused this. He could enforce the laws he already has. Why pass them if they're not going to enforce them? So that's the fact.
I give you credit. You got a talking point for everything, but guess what? Why pass laws? I mean, what are we talking about here?
Mexico and catch and release. He overturned them.
Why not pass the law? Because then you have more leverage to say he's not enforcing the law. Why just repeat the talking point? Tell me what's wrong with the bill, anything that doesn't involve a talking point that you've rehearsed and repeat on this show and other shows all over the media market in Milwaukee.
Executive ordered by Biden to overturn policies that work.
Let's take this as he has nothing wrong with the policy that Trump just blocked from going through that was going to strengthen border security and spend over $1 billion, multiple billions doing it. Because he keeps going to, alleged violations.
Thank you very much for the call. You know, Dr. Craig, there's so many things going on. And the fact that this was a deal that you even admitted that you didn't like and you didn't think Right. It was the right answer. And there's 700 and some odd pages. My issue is the fact that these people made the decision based on the fact that Donald Trump told them no. I don't see why people don't see that as a major issue, Dr. Craig, that representatives of the American people who voted for these people to represent them aren't representing the people. They're representing a man who can dictate to them, he's not even in office, what bills they should pass and what bills they should not pass.
Yeah, and one craven, emotional human being who doesn't care about policy, and who knows, it's sort of like waiting in olden monarchies or dictatorships. What's the king going to think? Is the king going to be in a bad mood today? I mean, that is literally it, because he condemned it without, before the text was available. And believe you me, he couldn't pass a test on its basic elements, let alone what's in the long law.
So Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket. Stay with us. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show on Civic Media. 844-967-2789 is the number. Sure, I don't know what a time when. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. And again, on Friday, we will be joined in studio by United States Senator Ron Johnson. If you want to get an opportunity to ask a question, go to civic.com/audio. And Earl. All right. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is still with us. Dr. Craig, what are your thoughts of whether or not Donald Trump will be charged with, what's the word I'm looking for, man? Why am I, with
sedition
with January 6th and what took place?
Treason has to do with foreign powers. Hence the wording, though in popular parlance is used more broadly, but not legally in the U.S. Anyway, so it's a little bit, there are a lot of contingencies, but fewer. The fact that this federal appellate court, D.C. Circuit, D.C. appellate, wrote this decision, did it in a fairly timely manner, a month, means that the Supreme Court has to intervene. We don't really know what the chances of five justices are. Some people think it's unlikely. Some people think it's likely. So we will find out. But what will happen probably is Trump will appeal Monday, because that's what he has to do, or the case restarts, gets unfrozen. And then we'll see how long the Supreme Court takes to say whether they are going to take the case or stay. There's no timeline on that once they've superseded the appellate court. So let's hope that we're not sitting here in 2 months, Earl, and they've frozen the case without saying what they're going to do. Don't know. That judge, the right-wing Trump judge down in Florida, has slow-walked that whole case. So what was supposed to be the more slam-dunk case, the secrecy case and the classified document case, is moving at a snail's pace. I hope this U.S. Supreme Court doesn't have five people who are willing to act so unethically.
You know, Dr. Craig, you look and see that Joe Biden's approval rating is at 36 or 37%. I mean, even worse than Jimmy Carter's was, you know, decades ago. And you just, your gut just, you know, it can't settle. Knowing that in the face of all of these things, Dr. Craig, that there are people who still, Tom Hartman wrote an article the other day talking about when Donald Trump became Jesus. And it's a great article, and it's, you can read it in the alternate. And I was going to talk about it today, but we didn't get around to it. But Dr. Craig, it's just unbelievable that in the face of all of these things, people are willing, certain people are willing to turn over the future of our nation to this man. Your thoughts? Yeah.
Well, I think it is an existential threat, and people need to get involved, join groups like Citizens National Wisconsin, and do more than vote in this election, make sure other people go vote in this election, make sure it's about issues and not what Donald Trump's going to make it about. And unfortunately, Ron Johnson, though he won't be on the ballot. I would just say that the media does a disservice with their endless polling and their lack of context. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you look at this, Chris Hayes has talked about this on his popular MSNBC show. You look at all of the other major elected chief executives in the other Western democracies, they're all underwater, most of them in their low 30s or 20s. So something is going on with cynicism about government, and the right is trumping it up to its advantage. And that's what we're seeing here with everything is to discredit and throw acid on government. And so I don't think these approval rings are comparable anymore. It's the new normal. They have created such a polarization, there aren't going to be popular presidents anymore, Republican or Democratic, for some time. But the media is creating this sense that Biden's a loser, 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 way out before the election. They've been doing this for over a year and a half, and that's a problem. But nonetheless, Biden should be up 40 points on this man. So it's terrifying how many people support him. I do want to say, because you mentioned Tom Hartman, I haven't read his article on Trump becoming Jesus. He's become a Jesus for Christians who are Christian nationalists and what is now called, it's taken a respectful word, evangelical, and turned it into a synonym for MAGA. There are lots and lots of Christian churches that are not, that I respect, that are not part of that. So he's Jesus for that group, but not Jesus for the mainline and liberal Christian churches at all. That's why the evangelical Lutherans, who are actually reasonable, are considering removing the word evangelical from their name because it now apparently means MAGA.
You know, Dr. Craig, you said join Citizen Action. Clearly, what can people do in the last couple of minutes to join Citizen Action?
So our website is citizenactionwi.org, and we are on all the socials, so you can just track us and get involved and see what we're doing on Facebook, Instagram, X, I guess it's called now. But we have chapters we call organizing co-ops around the state, and we're building both power on issues, real issues that would matter to people, and getting Democrats to actually introduce them and run on them, and then getting people involved in elections specifically and in talking to people in their community, because the evidence is overwhelming that if you have deep conversations with people from folks in their community, that moves people and overcomes, removes the fog over their eyes around what's going on. There's a lot of voters who are greatly moved and influenced if that happens, who we are not going to win simply by our dueling social media and television ads. Those will have a role, but there's a lot of people who they're going to throw their hands up because each side is calling the other horrible things. The fact of the matter is that when Biden does it, he's going to be accurate and Trump won't. They won't perceive it that way. They're just like a pox in all your houses. What is going on? Why should I even vote?
Dr. Craig, thank you very much as always. Have a great week. We'll be back in touch a week from today. Thank you, as always. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Again, up next, Jane Matinere, Matinere on Air with Chris Boggs. I'll see you guys on tomorrow. Thank you, Calvin.